From Michigan Radio, this is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. When we talk about investing in Michigan's infrastructure, roads, bridges, and water pipes usually come to mind. But what about internet access? High-speed internet is a necessity. Regions without reliable high-speed internet just can't compete. And just as rural parts of the country were last to get electricity in the 20th century, nowadays rural communities across Michigan lag behind cities in access to the internet. One rural electricity cooperative in southwest Michigan is changing that conversation by building a network to bring the fastest internet service, gigabit fiber optic, to its members. Bob Hance is president and CEO of the Midwest Energy and Communication Cooperative. Bob, welcome to Stateside.
Good to be here. Thanks for having us.
Bringing modern technology to rural customers really has been Midwest's mission from the very beginning, which was when?
It would be in the late and mid-30s. These co-ops started across the country about the same time. So many of us have kind of the same technical anniversary date.
That's a long history.
80 years.
So what area does Midwest Energy cover?
Midwest has two distinct service territories for our electric service, one being primarily in southwest Michigan, the other one being in southeast Michigan. We're actually a combination of two electric co-ops that merged back in the late 90s to become then Midwest Energy Cooperative.
And now Midwest Energy and Communication. So you started with power and light, you offer propane, but now let's talk about this fiber speed internet. Just how fast is it?
Well, we're offering up to gig speeds to all of our customers currently. It's actually scalable to something north of 1 gig.
And you know what? Not everybody gets that. How fast is it? If I'm sitting at home and I want to watch something on Netflix, how fast is this internet?
If you can imagine the speed of light in your terms, that's how fast it is. So it's information traveling across a fiber line that's at light speed.
So this is so far ahead of the traditional options for rural customers, right, like satellite or DSL.
It doesn't even compare, and that's something I'm sure we'll talk about with respect to some of our customers' reactions, yes.
Now, so you're building out your Southwest Michigan electric territory to offer this fiber speed internet. So basically what, you're using the existing infrastructure and right of way to get this to homes and businesses?
For the most part, that is correct. We will also be building out our Southeast territory in time, but our first project is a 5-year build project that is only the Southwest portion of our electric service territory.
Tell us how things are going so far.
It's incredible. It's beyond what we ever expected. Our take rates in our most mature areas have already exceeded our business model. We were modeling around 45% take rate, and we're hitting 60% take rate in our more mature area.
So basically, people are saying, oh, yes, we want this.
Yes.
Beyond your expectations.
Beyond our expectations, and actually, we're getting more pressure to get it done faster than we ever anticipated.
What does it take? What's the process of doing this?
You know, it took us nearly 80 years to develop the circuitry and the lines that we have currently serving them with electricity. Now we're trying to basically duplicate that same entire territory in 5 years. So we're building north of 400 miles per year of mainline fiber. And like you mentioned, most of it will be on our aerial system. So it'll be above ground. Where we're underground already with electric, then we will put the fiber underground. So it's effectively just reconstructing this network that we have that duplicates our electric system.
As people get this service and begin to use it, what are you hearing? What needs are being met by this fiber speed internet?
It covers the entire spectrum. We know for a fact that people who are doing education remotely, people with kids at home, families that have to have access to the school system for homework assignments and are doing homework at home, people who have home-based businesses, people who have to work from home from whoever they might work for to be able to be connected at not only high speeds, but certainly without data limits. All those things are included. We expect that it'll keep increasing to include things like remote health care and security and all things that might be relatable to folks who have attached or connected devices in their house.
We had a note that we're actually talking to you. You're speaking to us by phone over this fiber optic network.
That is correct. We're offering not only just internet access, but also a voice service that actually runs on that same piece of fiber.
I've got to imagine business and residential customers both must be very happy with that.
We've heard some incredible stories, and I'll share one in particular that I found very amusing. At one of our district meetings a gentleman was telling us that he would do a normal weekend call to his mother, who is also connected. For the first time, when they were having this conversation, she interrupted him and said, "Oh, I forgot to put my hearing aids in," and it turned out she could hear him fine. So the voice was so clear that she didn't even recognize that she hadn't put her hearing aids in that morning.
Bob, have you heard from any businesses who say, you know what, we were thinking of moving away if we didn't get fast, reliable internet?
Niles is a fairly significant community to our south and west. Community, I think, of population around 10, 11,000 folks. They reached out to us because they have an industrial park that was roughly a mile from where we were building our mainline fiber. In conversation with them, we discovered that they had a number of tenants that were threatening to move because of lack of adequate communication services. So we did that build into their industrial park. As a matter of fact, saved not only those businesses, but all the employees that were working there. These folks were struggling, and the last tenant into the industrial park found out that there wasn't any additional copper available to them. So the owner would physically have to take it someplace else and do downloads on thumb drives and bring them back so it could operate.
Mm.
So in this case, we serve probably 80% of the industrial park now with fiber.
I've got to imagine, as you talk about, you know, jobs that stayed right there, that there is a broader economic impact for the communities that this fiber optic internet's going into.
I can't even imagine how you would measure it, but it's absolutely imperative today. It's an essential service almost as much as electricity is. So in this example, they were threatening to leave to probably go to Indiana, maybe in the South Bend area, because they just need to be connected in this manner today.
Are there any other cooperatives in Michigan doing what you're doing?
There are none that have launched, but we know that there are three that are doing feasibility studies. So Homeworks Tri-County, which is north of Lansing, is probably the closest to getting to a place where they can launch. Great Lakes Energy, which is based in Boyne City, is doing a feasibility study, and there's a co-op in the UP called Alger Delta, who is also doing a feasibility study.
Any do's and don'ts you might offer them?
Don't wait too long. Number one, the membership will be there when you build it. If it's, you know, too cliche, it's true. In this case, we weren't really sure or clear how effective it was going to be, but now that we have our feet on the ground, it's very clear that not only is it wanted, it is needed.
So you're pretty much right in the middle of all of this, right? When do you expect to, you know, say, all right, we've done it, we're finished with this phase?
Sometime after I'm retired. In all seriousness, what we're finding out is that through word of mouth, because we're only really marketing and advertising to our current membership, our electric membership, but even though we have kept it confined, we have over 1,000 folks that are not electric members that have also signed up for service. So those who are close by and can see what we're doing are also signing up without even us reaching out to them. We've had contact from places as far away as Traverse City, so that community, knowing that what we're doing or what we're about to do, wanted to know if they built a system, would we be interested in operating it for them. We've heard from the city of Holland for the same reason. We understand South Haven is doing a feasibility study. We've had local townships reach out to us, and again saying, if we can finance it, will you operate it for us? So I don't see a clear end to the process of building off of this system.
Well, the prospect of being able, particularly for the rural areas, to get gigabit fiber optic and have that lightning speed, fastest, what, that's the gold standard of internet speed. It's a pretty great prospect, and it can certainly figure into the conversation about improving infrastructure in Michigan.
Absolutely. I think this gets lost in this discussion a bit. Not only is it valuable for us, for our members to be able to do business and be educated and, you know, do online things, we need it as an electric utility anyway. So for us to build the infrastructure was going to happen. So why not build it so it's adequate enough to be able to provide this service even to our members directly? Kind of an indirect benefit is that, you know, we're putting the smart grid, building fiber to each of our substations, so in the future we can do lots of different things on energy management that we couldn't do in the past.
Bob Nance is the president and the CEO of Midwest Energy and Communication, building a network bringing the fastest internet service to its members in Southwest Michigan. Great talking with you, Bob. We want to thank you so much for being with us on Stateside.
Thank you.